Hey guys, my name is Alexa Reeves, and I will be your witch and host on today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. Today, we are going to take a closer look at the pagan calendar, otherwise called the sacred year or the wheel of the year. And we're going to talk about why we as pagan and magic folk have all of these holidays, and what are we doing with them? I'd like to remind everyone that your spirituality and religion is as unique as your fingerprint. What we say here is no way the definitive rule on any topic, merely a jumping off point for you to begin your exploration into the amazing and complex world around you. So, with air that inspires us, the earth that grounds us, fire that enlightens us, and water that moves us, let's take a closer look at today's topic of the witch's calendar. So, it's one of the first things we all stumble upon as baby witches, so to speak. It's the holidays, the calendar. Oh my goodness, we have all these quarters and these cross-quarter points and solstices and equinoxes, and we're supposed to keep them all straight in our head, and it's okay. It's a lot of information to take in. So, the basic holidays break down into regular quarter points, our solstices and our equinoxes, and then cross quarter points. So there are 8 total. We have, briefly going over them, Yule on December 21st, otherwise our winter solstice. We have Ostara on March 21st or thereabouts for spring equinox. We have Litha on June 21st for summer solstice. Mebon, which is September 21st or autumn equinox. The cross quarter points are Imbolg on February 1st when spring begins. Beltane on May 1st, which is May Day, Lunasa on August 1st, which is that first harvest, and then Samhain on October 31st, which is our pagan New Year. I'd like to point out that these holidays are corresponding with the Northern Hemisphere. I am a member of the Northern Hemisphere witches, so my points of reference will be to that. You can do some research and find the correlation to the Southern Hemisphere dates and where all of those line up as well. But the information should roughly be the same. So why are these dates so significant? When you take a look at the historical and agricultural meaning of a regular calendar year and what a lot of our pagan and heathen ancestors were doing, you can kind of extrapolate their survival, you know, how they planned their crops, how they tended the farms, how they raised their livestock, how they celebrated nature. You can take a lot of those ancient and basic beliefs, and you can now kind of extrapolate them out into human psyche and human nature. Back before the Christianization of Europe, a lot of widespread use of written info wasn't out there, and really the only way to tell, you know, what time of year it was to watch nature, was to be in tune with what nature was doing around you. You know, nowadays, thankfully, we're not all scratching a living off of the earth like our loving pagan ancestors were. But nowadays, even when we as modern practitioners plant gardens or choose to raise livestock, we have a plethora of resources at our fingertips. We have almanacs and we have Google and we have apps that we can use that tell us when to plant our crops, when to harvest them, when I should, you know, put the bull in with all the cows, and when I should expect the next livestock spring to come on. Our ancestors didn't have that. They had to rely on folk knowledge. They had to rely on word of mouth knowledge passed down from generations. And they had to rely on what they could see around them, which was Mother Nature. So these little villages and these little families would all plan harvests and livestock breeding and carry on with day-to-day life with a lot of scrutiny, because that's how you survived. Thankfully, again, us modern practitioners don't have to struggle as hard as our ancestors did. So a lot of the ancient meanings behind some of our holidays and our minor holidays don't really apply to us now in modern day. Because we don't have to scratch a living off of the earth, we get to kind of take that traditional meaning of those holidays and we can apply them to broader psychological and almost introspective aspects of our life. These can also become, they become like markers, they become guides almost for self-exploration and for self-worth. I'm going to give you all a brief overview of each holiday. We'll talk about what it traditionally meant for our ancestors, kind of if we were all back in the dark ages scratching a living off the earth. And then we can talk about how we bring that lesson into like a modern day introspection, what we can do as modern day practitioners to better ourselves as magic makers. So let's start with the Witch's New Year. The Witch's New Year on August 31st, otherwise known as Samhain, otherwise known as Halloween, which across the board, most witches I hang out with say this is their favorite holiday. One, the decor is amazing, but two, it's an excuse to eat candy. I mean, come on, we really don't need much more than that. Traditionally, though, this was the full end of the light part of the year. Since our spring, days have been getting shorter. Darkness has been creeping further and further in. So when we hit that new year, it signifies this is the end. This is the end of the lightest part of the year. We are now into the darker parts of the year. We are now going to get darker and colder. And a lot of times our ancestors, you could look at this as, you know, a sign for worry, of course, because resources will be scarcer, sicknesses could increase. But this was a time where our ancestors honored their own ancestors. They honored their own dead. They built big bonfires to remind themselves that the warmth of the sun isn't leaving them forever. They would set out food and they would tell stories about those in the family that had passed already. In modern day witches and practitioners, we can still do that. A lot of pagans and witches still honor their ancestors, set up ofrendas, light candles for their dearly departed, invite them in a little bit just to say, hi, I miss you. From a psychological standpoint, though, at this point in time, we can think about what it is we've lost in the last year. You kind of take a moment of reflection and what lessons you've learned. You know, were they good lessons? Were they bad lessons? What consequences, both good and bad, have you reaped in as a practitioner? And really kind of take stock and take a reflection over what it is you've done. Moving further into the cold of the year, we get our winter solstice on December 21st. Traditionally, this is the shortest day of the year. This is the peak of darkness. There is so much not sunshine on the solstice, and it breaks my heart. Because as much as I do love the dark, it's amazing. The sunshine, you can't beat that warmth, though. So this dark part of the year, our ancestors would decorate trees. They would bring pieces of nature in with them. They would have a Yule log that they would light ceremonially to bring the idea of light and warmth and the coming warm months inside the house with them. You would decorate sprigs of holly and pine with lights and with candles, and you would offer gifts up, because at this point in time, on the shortest day of the year, this would have been the birth of the new sun. The new sun god was at hand for a lot of our pagan ancestors. We see some of that correlation in our Christmas tree traditions this year, which is nice. Modern day witches, though, this is a great time for shadow work. This is where you decide what things you're going to leave behind. Decide what new seeds you'd like to plant in the coming warmer months for you to start working on, things you'd like to start improving on, or habits you'd like to start getting away from. So this is a great time to go inward, dive deep and dark in, take care of yourself, kind of nurture yourself, hibernate a little bit mentally and emotionally, and start to decide what it is you'll leave behind and what it is you'll plant in the coming warmer months. As we move forward, we get the holiday of Imbolc on February 1st. This is this is traditionally our first signs that winter will eventually end. I'm not sure what Punxsutawney Phil has to say about it, but traditionally Imbolg literally means in the belly. And it means in the belly because the ewes, or female sheep, because male sheep are called rams, the female sheep would begin to have their lambs. They would finally, they were, you know, they were swelling with life again. They were finally starting to drop their first lambs in the barn. The first flowers, crocuses, would start to bloom now and creep their way up through the ice. We're starting to see days where the ice is actually melting and the warmth is slowly creeping back in. In modern day witchcraft, this is where we look at what psychological, you know, thoughts, patterns, or habits, or values you want to lay down. You think of those as seeds. You know, what things do I start wanting to do? What things do I want to incorporate into my life? Very similar to New Year's resolutions ideas, but these are a lot more spiritual and emotional based. This is when you start mapping out the steps you're going to take to meet those goals, whatever they are. They can be, you know, as simple as, you know, I'm going to journal every day about, you know, my day to day, or it can be as complicated as, I am every week, I'm going to take on, you know, this new aspect of my spirituality, my craft, really dedicate myself to learning new things. But this is where you map it out. This is where you kind of get your fingers just that first little bit into the dough that you're about to work. As the year continues, we get Ostara, or spring equinox, on March 21st. Traditionally, this is from the Germanic fertility goddess Oster. She was rebirth. She was renewal. The green of the earth is finally returning to us. This is when our ancestors would begin to sow some of their earlier seeds outside. They would begin to till the earth up, map out their gardens and where everything was going to live and be. In modern day practitioners, this is where you've begun taking steps. You tackle steps one and two of your implementation of these new habits or the new way you are manifesting something into your life or into your goals. As the year continues, we get Beltane, or May Day, on May 1st. Traditionally, this was a celebration. This was a time to hail the warmth that had returned. The maypole was used, and the dancing around the maypole and the fertility practices, bonfires, all of nature was awake at this point. The house could be completely cleaned out, open all the doors, the shutters, the windows. Our ancestors got rid of anything that had rotted over the last year that they didn't use in the storerooms. A May Queen is chosen to represent Flora, who is the flower and spring goddess. And this was a celebration. This was a time that the humans finally celebrated, hey, we made it through the harsh winter and we have enough to get us through this next part of the year here. Modern day witches, this is an excellent halfway point. This is when you can kind of take a look at what it is you've started to do, what's working, what can you improve on, what kind of little alterations, what changes you need to make, and then maintaining your course. As the warmer months creep in, we get Litha, or the summer solstice, on June 21st. Traditionally, this sits opposite our winter solstice on December 21st. So where winter solstice was our shortest day of the year, summer solstice is our longest day of the year. There's the most light available to us. From here, though, the days do start getting shorter. Kind of like that same, we see the same balance, though, on winter solstice, where we have the shortest day of the year with the most darkness. But from winter solstice on, the days get longer and lighter. Summer solstice on, the days get shorter and darker. We get that good balance going. Traditionally, though, this was an excellent holiday for weddings, for hand fasting holidays. A lot of pagan married couples will say that this is the luckiest day of the year. A lot of practitioners will choose this date to be significant for their marriage because this is a great time that our ancestors used to kind of just be at peace with what they've made this year. For our modern day witches, you should be deep, deep into the work that you've been doing for some time now. You should have tangible, measurable results from whatever it is that you've chosen to implement into your life. Moving further, we get Lunasad on the fall harvest on August 1st. Traditionally, this was the first pick of harvest. That first pick of the harvest is offered to the gods. It's offered to back to nature as a thank you, to say, we are not above you, we are a part of you, and we are grateful that we've made it again. Summer is ending. You know, we're seeing the trees start to finally, you know, dull a little bit. The color seeps back out of them. Our ancestors were grateful for what it is they sowed that year, with the crops they were able to reap and start to store up. Modern day witches, this is towards the end of the year where your manifestations are actually there. You are in the thick of it. You have made progress. You are actually reaping the benefits of whatever it is that you've set out to do. So for example, if you were journaling every day at this point in time, you should be able to flip through almost a half year's worth of journals. This should be you constantly striving for, you know, improvements or whatever it is you're working towards. You should have those results in hand. Getting into the autumn equinox or Mabon on September 21st, our ancestors, this was the last harvest. This is when the last bit of crop was reaped in and stores were gathered and prepared. The villages took stock of what they had. What is it they were going to store up so that they could survive the cold winter? Barns were prepared for livestock to be housed in them over winter. A lot of preparations were laid down for the village's hibernation, basically, their survival. Modern day witches, this is a great time for you to give thanks. This is an opportunity for you to be grateful for a bountiful year, to recognize what you've gained, what you've accomplished. You can actually pat yourself on the back at this point and say, man, I changed. I did something. I brought something in. You've made change, and that's amazing. And as the year progresses, it falls right back into Samhain on October 31st, our new year. You can follow these patterns. You can pick them up at any point in time in the year. There is no specific starting point or stopping point, or there's no rule that says you have to do any or all of these. The calendar is just a great tool for staying grounded, so staying connected with the earth, with yourself, with your practice. It's by no means mandatory that you celebrate any or all of these holidays. These are just days on a calendar. Modern day time constraints, life gets in the way. This doesn't make you a bad practitioner if all of a sudden your head springs off the pillow and you go, oh no, it's February 1st. I missed a holiday. It's okay. A lot of times, life gets in the way of the rest of our life. Most times, the holidays are just great excuses to bring friends and family together. This is an opportunity to have fellowship, to have community, to have a good time. It makes it easy for you to plan gatherings with spiritual like-minded people and bring them together, because these holidays are pretty universal across most magic practices. So it's easy to get people to plan ahead of time and be able to commit time and energy to rituals or gatherings around these holidays. I want to thank all of you for journeying with me today over the Witch's Calendar, the pagan wheel of the year, on today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. We hope you've learned something, been inspired to go learn more, and then share that gift with the world around you. Signing off, I'm Alexa Reeves, and until next time, cheers and stay spooky, guys.